Now, the weather's changing, but apparently not in Cork or anywhere on the other side of the country. But we got a bit of sunshine, so we're hanging on to it. And with the weather change, of course, what we wear changes, obviously. So what do we keep access to? What can we sell? And what can go into storage for winter? Well, joining us live from London, Laura De Barra is going to help me make the transition into my summer wardrobe. Hello, Laura.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
You always make good. Me good. I haven't seen you since our event.
I know, you make me giddy. How are you?
Same.
Same. Good to hear your voice. Miss your face. So let's get straight into it, Laura. Looking at our wardrobes, what items can stay around all year? What do we need to keep?
I usually hang on to anything that's in natural fibres, like cotton t-shirts, linen shirts, things like that I wear all through the year because they're temperature regulating, easy to layer up. I would be putting away things like knits. They're so bulky, they get in the way throughout the summer, but don't put them into vacuum pack bags because they suck. No, like I'm telling you, warning. A lot of times people will pull stuff out of vacuum bags and think, God, did I actually like that? This feels really limp. It doesn't feel as good quality. And it's because knits are usually a natural fiber, or if they're synthetic, there's a lot of air still within the knit and it sucks it out of it and it just destroys the integrity of the piece. If you put it in storage for 3 months, it'll take 3 months to get the air back into it.
Wow.
And people often don't realize that and they end up getting rid of them. Same with winter coats that have filling in them. You basically are taking out the air, which is the insulator. It's the temperature regulator. It's one of the nicest things within the garment.
And we all have people in our lives who think they invented vacuum packing. Look at this, they vacuum pack. And if it's the wrong garment, you can destroy it. You can vacuum pack silks and stuff, can you?
Well, I wouldn't vacuum pack anything natural. That's a natural fibre. It will just take out one of the best things about it, which is its ability to hold air within the fibres. But also some synthetics, so not viscose, but things like polyester. Mm-hmm. If you put them into vacuum pack bags, they can take on the smell of the plastic and it's impossible to get it off. So they are great as a temporary measure. Like if you're like, okay, 4 weeks or I need to transport stuff, but for a whole season in the back of your wardrobe, it can damage your clothes.
So I'm just in the process of moving. And for the first time in my life, I have an attic and I keep going, where am I going to put this? Nice. I'm like, I have the attic. So everything's going up to the attic. So do you put like winter coats, would you put them in those big checky bags or what would you store, plastic, black plastic bags or suitcases? What would you store them in?
I would do airtight boxes for anything that is going away from winter.
The big plastic ones, the storage ones.
Yeah, they're usually easier. Now, I don't have the luxury in London because it's a tiny flat of storing things in other places. So what I usually do is I divide my wardrobe up into occasions of wear. So work tops and bottoms, going out, etc. More like casual clothes. And then I basically put the things I wear daily in the centre of my wardrobe and the things that I'll spend longer getting ready, like a night out, in the trickier areas so that I can basically access things quickly and easily. But I'll usually just fold knitwear and put it at the back of my wardrobe. If I have anything that is like a cashmere or I'm afraid that moths are going to get it, I'll store those in airtight plastic boxes on the top shelf. And I put little blocks of cedar wood in there as well to repel the moths.
Or lavender.
Lavender is really good as well, but quite often the cedar is stronger and lasts for longer.
Can I confess something to you, Laura?
Please.
So since I started spending more time in Wicklow, I dress differently. What's going on?
Nice.
Yeah.
No, that's a nice thing, right? You're adapting your lifestyle to the way you dress.
It's much more casual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that's nice.
A lot of dog walking stuff. A lot of dirty tracksuits. Yeah, I love it.
You're comfortable.
I'm just comfortable. Yeah. I'm comfortable in my own skin. So many people have wardrobes, as we know, as I did, but not anymore, bursting at the seams, right? So I haven't done it yet. Well, that's not true. I have done it. What I used to do when I lived in London, I would take a couple of bags, like big checky bags of clothes or something, you know, or like big IKEA bags, you know, those big bags, down to Portobello Market on a Friday morning and sell them to a stall holder for like 50 quid or 100 quid and they just take all the clothes. Yeah, so you make a few quid out of it. But there's better ways now to sell your clothes, isn't there?
Yeah, there's easier ways where you can. I think Vinted's just come into Ireland, actually.
Vinted.
I buy a lot.
Tell
of,
people what Vinted is.
I think it's Vinted.
Yeah, it is Vinted.
Basically, there's a load of these sites, but it all depends on what you're selling and who's buying it. So if you're selling something that's luxury, I wouldn't be selling that on a site that's mainly doing cheaper clothes. If you're selling something that is a certain style or occasion, there's
luxury. Sorry, is luxury Vestiaire or something like that?
Yeah, they're quite good for it. I would usually do one where there's an authentication process or there's an add-on.
Go on. How
do you
does
know
that
what
work?
I mean?
No, explain.
So like if I'm buying, like I love, there's one Versace collection that I love and I always keep an eye out for it. But it's always ripped off as well. So when you go onto Vestiaire, you can basically pay for it to be authenticated before it gets to you for 15 quid. And I would always do that on something if that's a luxury. So using an app where you're able to do that will have less returns and less disgruntled people. But also, like, I would always encourage people, if you don't have to sell it and you don't necessarily need the profit of getting rid of your clothes, I always look first at women's shelters and any shelters that are housing anyone that's homeless, and I will give my best stuff there.
Yeah.
And that's for people going for interviews and people who don't want to feel like they're in the secondhand clothes. So I also give my best, most unworn stuff there. Ring ahead, they'll tell you what they need. Like, they'll usually say, like, we need women's suits in a size 10 or a size 16.
Oh yeah, Sonia has my business partner has a charity called Work Equal, and they're always looking for donations for women to be suited and booted and prepped for interview to get back into the workplace. So yes, there are options out there. It's called Work Equal. You can Google it. So what about pricing? If I'm going to put something up, so for example, I have loads of friends who do Depop. Is that it?
Yes.
Yeah, and they swear by it. And I think it's gamified, so I think it's kind of addictive. And they're selling old slippers and shoes and all sorts of stuff, right?
Yeah, I think you can sell anything pretty much. And I think when you're pricing, I will always just go online and look at what other people are selling something similar for. If I want to get this sold quickly, I'll go competitive. If I want to get the most money for it, I will put up a load of pictures, measurements, descriptions, a suggestion of an occasion to wear it, the fabric that's being, like the composition of the fabric that's being sold. If you put a lot of stuff into it, you will get a higher price.
Because people understand what they're buying, and then your returns will be lower. There's my other hat on.
Yeah, and a considered shopper.
Yes.
People who want to spend a bit more money, who aren't doing it for like the dopamine hit of just buying something quickly and consuming, they will appreciate a well-done ad and think, okay, this is probably coming from someone who wears their clothes carefully. They'll pay more money.
Talk me through the process. Okay, so I am, my name is Brenda, and I have a dress I wore to a summer wedding that I don't know, but it cost me, say, I bought it in a nice high street store, but it cost me like 280 quid. So it's not throwaway. It was expensive purchase, but I don't like it. I don't want it anymore. What's the process of uploading and selling? And talk me right through the process so I understand.
So this is all also in one of my books, Garment Goddess, all these tips, if anyone wants it in the end as well. But basically what you're going to do is, photographs are the most important thing.
That's, do you photograph yourself in it, or do you photograph it on the bed? Or?
I always say do a body, like don't do a face, obviously, but do like a body picture so that people can see where the hemline is. People can see that the cuff, what the cuffs are like. I would take pictures of front, of back. I would take a picture, usually within the Instagram app is the easiest way to do it. Take a picture of it, and you can draw arrows on and add measurements and then use that picture. It's rather than getting out Photoshop or whatever, because people want to see what the length is, what the width of the shoulders are. They want to compare it to garments they have already. And then I would make sure in the description you have a really positive, punchy, like if it's a wedding dress, a dress you wore to a wedding, mention it as ideal wedding dress guest, wedding guest dress. And then I'm
pricing ladies' day. If,
yeah, like you can add in some stuff because people will be using those search terms.
Yeah.
And then I would also add in like the color and the size into the title, and then you'll come up the algorithm on it. But basically these apps now are like social media where people can scroll garments. So your first picture is the one that you want people to draw people in with. So I'd be making sure you're just getting, if you're selling 20 things, everything on the same hanger, in the same spot, against a blank wall, front, back, details. There's no problem if there's damage, as long as you take a picture of it. Like, let's say there's a little tear. If you have a picture of it, you're more likely to sell it because people see you as an honest seller of the garment.
So who pays for the postage?
It can depend. So sometimes on some apps, you can include the postage. Sometimes some people want to use cheaper postage, so they will opt for like untracked, or they'll decide that they want to go to a certain courier. Like I know here in London, when I was selling something one time, the only courier that was selected was one that was a 45-minute walk away. And I just thought, God, I need to take that option off. But basically, there's going to be different options. Usually it's the person buying that will cover the postage.
Okay.
And then you just have to drop it off at a drop-off point, and then it will get out to them. If you've done your due diligence and you've got all your measurements and everything, you're unlikely to get a return. And a lot of people, when they're shopping on these apps, won't return, and some apps don't let you return.
Oh,
so I just make sure that there's, well, some of them make it super tricky and a super long time to get your money back, or they'll charge you a bit. So I would always try and make sure that you're basically like doing enough of the work to be able to either buy or sell in a very considered way. It's not like buying something on an ASOS or something where you return it.
Interesting. So they make returns kind of tricky. So I suppose if you're buying secondhand, the likelihood of wanting to return it is going to be slightly reduced, is it?
Yeah, and it like some people are really good with returns. They're like, no problem. They're people who are into the environmentally friendliness of secondhand, but other people can make it kind of a bit tricky. So I would always make sure you're like, even when you're shopping in general, that like returns may not be an option, and ask for loads of measurements so you're sure that it fits you.
This circular economy is really growing, isn't it?
It is. And do you know what? I think one of the main reasons is that a lot of stuff that we would have relied on the high street being of good quality. Do you think before you could just go in and buy a cardigan, buy a jumper, buy a pair of jeans, and you knew they'd wash well and wear well at a certain price point? That has kind of almost disappeared, that like guarantee of clothing being well made. So now a lot of people are buying like really old Marks and Spencers because the current stuff isn't matching up to what it was.
Really?
Yeah.
It's just not as good quality as it was. Do you think so?
I think... And not all high street and not all brands, but I think there is a thing there now where people are quite shocked when they're buying something and it's just not the quality it was before.
So if anybody's thinking about culling their wardrobe, I would say roll up your sleeves, divorce any emotion and just get rid. Would you agree?
Yeah, like what I usually do is I section it into groups. So I'll put and groups of wear, right? So like if when I'm trying to decide if I need to downsize, I'll put all my work tops in a pile. And then I'll put all my, let's say, walking clothes in a pile and all my jeans that I wear for a certain occasion in a pile. And when you're looking at five T-shirts that are for the same occasion, that's easier to part with than looking at them individually.
Laura DeBarra, I could talk to you all day. You're amazing. Listen, we've got to go. I'm back.